You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley here in the studio. Thanks.
You ready?
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Checking my messages.
We also welcome to the show Jan Olga Fjortoff, Shaka Hislop and Julien Laurent are with us. International week, we'll kick off with Wales and Gareth Bale, who had some interesting things to say about whether or not he was going to stay on loan at Spurs.
I think the main reason I obviously came to Spurs this year was obviously I wanted to play football first and foremost, but going into Euros I wanted to be match fit. So the original plan was only to do a season at Spurs, and then after the Euros I still have a year left at Real Madrid, and as far as my plan obviously is to go back, and that's as far as I've planned, to be honest.
Overall, it's what you'd expect him to say, obviously, and the deal was only 1 year. What struck me in that is that I came to Spurs to improve my match fitness, as if there's some sort of, I don't know, posh gym.
Well, I think what he means is he came to Spurs to get game time every week with the Euros upcoming, rather than be at Real Madrid and definitely not play. Now, we didn't know he was going to go to Spurs and almost never play. Maybe he didn't. The whole thing's just weird. I don't know who to blame here, whether it's... I honestly don't know. Is it him? Is it the manager? Is it both? Is it his attitude? All we know is he's filling up his pension. I mean, he's got another year at Real Madrid.
Yes.
Another year.
600,000 a week.
Somebody's given him the contract. He's won a watch in that sense, not on a football parlance, but on a lifestyle parlance. He'll go back, he'll play golf. If Zidane's at the football club, which might or might not be, he's definitely not going to play. I'm just surprised how the whole Tottenham thing has worked out so badly for one so talented. I just can't put my head around it.
Shaka, what do you make of the turn of phrase here? Because Bale could have put this a lot better, couldn't he?
Yeah, but in all honesty, it's no less than you expected. I mean, so often we talk about players, you know, who may be out of the picture at one club looking for an opportunity. Jesse Lingard to get themselves back into international contention.
This is a so-called club legend who could have quite easily said, I was excited to go back and Spurs return to where I had so much success. I'm looking forward to continue that to the end of the season and see if we can qualify for the Champions League. Instead of saying, you know, I kind of went back to get match fit ahead of Wales, which is really all I care about.
Yeah, listen, I think that is a big takeaway. Two things. Gareth Bale would have been more than happy to just sit out the last 2 years in Madrid picking up his money. But for the Euros coming up, where he's always worn that Wales shirt with such pride. And I felt, particularly over the last couple of years, has probably saved his best footballing performances for Wales. So you know what that means to him. And the opportunity to go back to Spurs kind of fed into that. And that's the only takeaway. Happy to pick up his money. Wales is important. Spurs is just a kind of a stepping stone, which, again, we kind of knew.
Jan, how would you feel if you're in that Spurs locker room hearing that?
I would find that he is an idiot. And it was the same when he was at Real Madrid. I mean, he won so many trophies there. Could be one of the legends scoring in finals. And then he just sits with his stupid hat and just looks like he doesn't care at all. And I think, and he said, so a disrespect to Real Madrid is a disrespect to Tottenham, saying that you're coming back to go into the gym. I mean, that is ridiculous. I mean, who is giving this man advice? It's strategically terrible. Like you said, you could have said, it's so great to be back without Tottenham. What I achieved at Tottenham will never have the chance at Real Madrid winning the Champions League, coming back as a Wales legend, taking them to championship and so on and so on. And instead, he does the total opposite. And he's obviously kind of interviews that just bores me. And I can't believe that in disrespect to all Tottenham fans that at this time can't even get into the stadium. And he talks about Tottenham like that it's like a fitness gym. I think it's ridiculous.
But just quickly before you go to Jules, I think there's a couple of things here. Either he's not the brightest or he just plain doesn't care. And I say that because for the reasons that, you know, Jan just mentioned there. Somebody who is either caring or is bright enough to answer the question would say, listen, it hasn't worked out, but the reason I came here was I got a lot of time for Tottenham from my time here. I want to help the club push forward. I want to help Mourinho. I want to get my career back on track, and I'm going to get playing time. If we can fit all those in, then maybe Tottenham could have had a successful season. That's not difficult as somebody who's, you know,
he's been around a long time.
Well, I was going to say, like, we've all done. I used to say to guys, and you know, when I was doing the media at Chelsea and Celtic, and at Celtic it was every day. We used to have reporters come in, and I used to say to the guys, look, ask me what you like. I'm not telling you what to ask. Ask me what you like, because I'll find a way to answer it.
Sure.
Right. There's easy ways to find a way to answer the most simple question, and that was the way. Do you know? So it's either he just thinks, I don't care what they think, or he hasn't got the mindset he can answer it properly. I'm kind of thinking it's the former,
yeah,
not the latter, to be honest.
Jules, how is Mourinho going to react to this?
I think Mourinho knew exactly what was happening with Bailey. He knew that Bailey came like a lot of players do when it's a year of a Euros or a World Cup, and they know in the club they're not going to play. They go on loan, or they get a permanent move somewhere where they will get game time and be ready for that Euros or that World Cup. And I think Mourinho knew exactly. Otherwise, Spurs would have put a buyout clause at the end of the loan, or they would have tried to maybe structure the deal differently. It was a straight one-team, like a lot of players get, and I think they knew that, and Mourinho knew that. Maybe that's why Mourinho didn't really play much at the beginning, and Bale had to convince him to play a bit more, and recently we've seen that he'd been scoring and playing more, albeit a bit inconsistently, but still in terms of performances, but still being there in that team and being quite important. I just think he was honest tonight. That was always the deal. He wanted to go somewhere where he would play quite a lot to be ready for the Euros with Wales, and I just thought he was honest, very clumsy, but in a very honest way.
Yeah, and he was clumsy. Yeah, sorry, it's clumsy, but it's not difficult to not be clumsy to try and give some people a bit of hope, you know, supporters. Mm. But, you know, I'll go back to there's been a lot going on recently, but I think it was the Arsenal game for Spurs recently. I was watching him, and he got taken off. I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did.
Yeah.
But I was watching him, and I was watching, we talk about body language stuff, I was just watching his reaction playing on that right side, I think he was. I think it might have been Doherty behind him, whatever it was, but they might as well have been playing with 10 men. Now, you can play badly. You cannot have the overhead kicks from Champions League finals and all the great goals this guy scored. That can happen. But it's not too much to ask for you to go and close down and show some pace and some desire and some energy and drive about your performance. If the manager doesn't like it, he takes you off. Okay, I've went out. But he was literally, I mean, it was just above a walk.
Right.
But not much. I was watching him and I was just thinking, absolutely, and this is a North London derby, absolutely zero interest he had in that game. When they took him off, he couldn't wait to go and sit up and get his top on and have a drink. Couldn't wait.
What happens between now and the end of the season? Because you can't trust him, can you? He's not going to be playing at 100%.
Well,
because he wants to play for Wales. That's his priority and that's clear.
Right, and by the way, he's not going to be much good for Wales and just getting no game time. I don't care who you are.
Right.
Right? So, and he's been a guy, sorry, and he's been a guy that's no. sort of led the line for them. Look, Mourinho is under severe pressure. There's no doubt about it. They got a result a couple of days ago, whatever it was, but they're hovering outside the top four. They've been papped out of the Europa League in embarrassing style. The chances are they'll get a rolling over in the League Cup final from Man City. So he can only use people that he thinks are going to go to the trenches for him.
Right.
And Gareth Bale's not one of those.
He's at the back of the queue. Jan?
Now, I'm just thinking of, so say that Gareth Bale had a plan, what he's doing at the moment with these interviews, that he's going to Tottenham. First of all, his body language and his interviews like he's doing now. First of all, he gives Zinedine Zidane right that to throw him out was a good idea, although he has won these trophies at Real Madrid. If he looked after himself, he will be one of the best players around for his generation. That is point number one. Point number two, if he's angry at Mourinho that he doesn't play him, Danny do interviews like this, that this just plays into Mourinho. Mourinho, just like you guys were saying, why you can't trust this guy, Gareth Bale? I can't use Gareth Bale. And I feel sorry for these kind of players. And we've seen them all over the generations that we have played football and followed football. These are the players who don't care at the end of their career, looking forward to their life after career. The first 10 years, they have a good with private jets and different things they're doing in Tenerife and so on. And then after 10 years, they start thinking, why didn't I do enough? Because money can't buy you love, my friend. And these kind of interviews, this is a disrespect to all football fans all around the world. And you should be shamed.
Shaka?
I totally agree. On the other side of the coin, if as a Spurs fan, you want to try and find some positivity out of this, Spurs have roughly, 10 games left between now and the end of the season, if you include that cup final. Now is the time that Gareth Bale comes good. Now is when he really starts to try, really starts to ramp up his match fitness ahead of the Euros. And then you know where you stand. I honestly feel that Gareth Bale only finds any kind of enjoyment out of the game in representing Wales. Other than that, it's a job. It's a very hard job for him right now. And if I'm a club manager or club owner, I don't touch him with a barge pole. Spurs have him till the end of the season. You don't extend that. I'm not sure who takes it up at the end of his Real Madrid deal in 12 months' time.
Well, that's the interesting thing. He's done, isn't he?
Well, that's it. That'll be his last 12 months.
I mean, he's not going to matter financially, but in terms of his career, he's done. Shaka's absolutely correct. I mean, unless you're getting him for nothing and paying him nothing, or paying him peanuts, you're not going to take him. But listen, this is not Tottenham's biggest problem. It's been an issue for them because of the wages, partially wages that they've shelled out. Real Madrid will still be paying a big chunk of it, I'd imagine. But Tottenham fans who have made their mind up about this guy quite a while ago, he's not their biggest issue. It's been a big mistake. They've got other problems, like losing their best players, the way they play football, and their manager still yet to prove that he's not yesterday's news. So, yeah, it's been a thorn in the side, but he'll move on and do what he does.
And he'll be looking to do it, of course, in the Euros, and he's looking to help Wales qualify for the World Cup as well. Their first game is against Belgium on Wednesday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
David, there's been a quick rebirth of Manchester United under a former teammate of yours, Ollie. Has he been unfairly criticized in your mind?
I've seen some of the criticism, but I suppose when you are a manager at Manchester United, and when, you know, Manchester United have had the success over the years that they've had, there was always going to be a point where people get criticised, whether it's players, whether it's owners, whether it's whether it's the manager. And, you know, Ollie's been in the game for long enough to be able to take any kind of criticism. You know, he's very quiet. He gets on with his job, and I think he's done an incredible job down at United, and the results are starting to show that. So, you know, I think hopefully that continues, because, you know, the fans love Ollie, we all love Ollie, and we all want him to do well. So when the criticism comes, you know, he's one person that can take it.
That was David Beckham speaking to Taylor last Friday. More of that interview to come as the new MLS season approaches.
No surprise.
Craig, it's been a while since me and you sat here and talked about Ollie. Just has he done an incredible job?
No, not particularly. United are pretty mediocre. Going to finish second probably this year, but that's not good enough for Man United, whilst Liverpool and City over the last two or three years, and Leicester City themselves have won the league, and the other two that I mentioned have romped away. City will romp away this year. You know, David Beckham's part of that cabal from 92, the class of 92. None of them to a man are ever going to say anything, even if they're working in the media or not. They haven't got the stomach to call out certain people. But look, he's not done a horrendous job, not at all. But there's an element of mediocrity there, and they're not good to watch. And I didn't see the game at the weekend because I was travelling. But I hear it was ultimately not very good again. They're out of that another competition. He's lost umpteen semi-finals. He didn't get to a semi this time. They're only in the Europa League because they got papped out of the Champions League. And they're going to finish second again. So my answer hardly surprises you or anybody else that watches this show regularly. I understand that. But please don't let the Beckhams, the Nevilles, the Scholes and the Giggs et al. Go and tell you that everything's wonderful at Man United, right? Because deep down they know it's not.
What about those that say, oh, Craig Burley's got a vendetta against Ollie?
I don't have a vendetta against anybody. I judge clubs by their standards and by their results. And I've said from day one, I do not think Man United will overhaul Liverpool and City with Solskjaer in charge. They may get enough results to stave off him getting the bullet, and I don't think he will. And they might just get enough results for people to say, well, maybe another year, well, maybe another 6 months. And that's how it's panning out. Whilst I know Liverpool have had a really tough season, but it's plainly obvious why. But once again, City have picked up the baton, and they have done a tremendous job. And that's what you're up against. And to get that kind of results, you need really, really, really good coaches. I think Leicester have one. I think Liverpool have one. And Man City definitely have one. And I am not convinced at all, and never will be, that Man United have. They have a good manager who's got good experience in Norway and blah, blah, blah. But I've always said it, and I know there'll be people here who have different opinions, Man United's standards are not just saying, we got a few more points in last year, but we're going to finish second again by quite a long way. And the football's not great, so I don't think so. No, I don't think they'll make a change, but I don't buy into the Beckham, Neville, Scholes, all these. I don't buy into this pally-pally media line.
Jules, you obviously live in England. You chat to a lot of Manchester United fans. Craig makes a valid point in the fact that a lot of those around Solskjaer obviously stick up for him. Where are the supporters in all of this?
It's a good question. I think they'll be torn. They'll be in between because they obviously loved him as a player. He was so good for Manchester United, and they want him to do well. Certainly, there's that belief, and I think they see little steps of improvement now and again. And we've seen in this season they will have more points than last season, of course. But I think there's a lot of frustration as well, and rightly so, because he has also messed things up in the Champions League, that game against PSG Old Trafford. This is on him. The quarterfinal of the FA Cup against Leicester the weekend, it's on him. And there's other examples, and I think a lot of the United fans were very disappointed by his comments last week, saying that you don't need to win a trophy to show progress. That trophy doesn't matter. You can't be a Manchester United manager and say that trophies don't matter. This is not true. This is not possible. And I'm sorry, on that communication, he got it atrociously wrong as well. And I think really the fan base are a bit in between of wanting him to do well, seeing some improvement now and again, but then it's one step forward and two step backs on some big games. He's lost all the semi-finals that he played since he joined the club. And those comments, I'm sorry, but that was not good on him.
Jan, is he doing an incredible job?
No, not at all. I mean, that is not a standard of Manchester United. And I don't think that these kind of comments from David Beckham or the CEO of Manchester United, or if it's the head of sponsoring or whatever they're called, that they don't make any favours. And I think that is nearly that is bad for Ola that he's doing that kind of thing. I agree with Jules, and I said that yesterday as well, that comment that he said about championships and titles, that was not a good comment of him. Hopefully it was just lost in translation. But I think also I don't think Craig got a vendetta against Ole or Manchester United. I think he sees what he sees. But I think that sometimes even the pundits or football experts can also be a bit broader when we analyse Manchester United, because I think it's also more of a culture. And Ole Gunnar is the manager of that culture. He was taken in after Jose Mourinho more or less crushed the club. and he was taken in to do a job in that terms, which it took them back, it got them into Champions League. But I think that we have to have a look at the culture at the club as well, not only the manager. And if Ole says that he thinks that is just enough to be in the Champions League or whatever, said before by Wenger, Arsene Wenger, and if he says that that is a culture at the club, and with the owners thinking that that is okay, as long as we are in the Champions League, we are okay, we don't care about these kind of things, then I think that we should have a broader discussion, not only this going on at Solskjaer. Frank Lampard took over Chelsea. He had 5 minutes at Derby as well. I never saw that you're having a go at him for that. And sometimes we're in a discussion, people say, yeah, but he should scare the people more. He should louder and all that thing. I mean, that is so 1999 kind of stuff for me.
I think, in some sense, what Jan's saying there. I mean, I think, you know, if you go and ask these ex-United players, I'll tell you what their answer is before the interview.
Right.
So spare me the boredom. Because they don't see it from an objective point of view, right? It's clear. Brain blinkers, right? There's no doubt about it. And I get that. If you want to back up friends and stuff, I get that. One of the things with Solskjaer at the moment is quite fortunate in a sense, to go back to that point, is that the ownership of Man United, it seems on the face of it, lack any real drive. They want to make sure, as long as the business is operating to a level that commercially they're still doing what they do around the globe, and they're a huge club. I don't do vendettas. I just try and do my job. Man United are a fantastic club, a massive club. But the ownership at the moment, there is several problems. There's a playing staff issue that still needs to be resolved. In my opinion, and we've seen Darren Fletcher go in there as technical director and all these other, it's all sort of, you know, friendly stuff with people that are getting appointed. But the ownership, I think, lack the real drive to really go and say, look what Liverpool and City have been doing, almost 100 points in the past 2 or 3 years to win this championship. We need to do something to make sure that if that happens again, and it could, that we're in a position that we're in there, because we're big enough and we have the clout to do that. But do we have the drive to do it? Do we have the will to do it? And do, ultimately, we have the right personnel? And I think they believe they have the right personnel to keep the good ship Man United sailing in calm waters.
Right.
And I think that suits them quite nicely at the moment, just to have that. And I don't think there's any great ambition to be the best team in Europe again, which United were at one period under Sir Alex Ferguson.
Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can go over to our YouTube page. Plenty of content published there. Be sure to subscribe on ESPN FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We asked Jan to give us his top five strikers. No Mbappe, we decide. No Messi, Ronaldo, obviously. So this is it. This is if you're playing a pickup right now. Who do you choose? He would choose Lewandowski first, Haaland, of course, second, Benzema third, Harry Kane fourth, ahead of Romelu Lukaku in fifth. Jules, I feel drawn to you to talk about Benzema being third.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think Benzema should be second and Erling Haaland should be third. I mean, Benzema is not just a finisher. He's so much more than that. And we've seen this season with Real Madrid, he's been carrying them on his back. He's scored 8 in the last 6, plus all the assists as well. And by the way, he's much older, of course, than Erling. He's 13 years older, but he's won 4 Champions League and many other titles. So I think he deserves that second place behind Lewandowski. He's close. Jan, I give you that. He's close, but Erling can just be in third for now. Bronze medal. And then very soon he'll be in silver and in gold anyway.
Jan?
No, that's a fair comment. I think that I also put in who you will pick up now. I think Benzema got a great season, and sometimes in the back in the old days with Cristiano Ronaldo, he was in the shadow doing a great job for him as well. So that could be close, but obviously I didn't go for merit and age. I just went for the yep. young Norwegian machine.
Yeah, the Norwegian bit, obviously striking. Inter fans are shouting at you as well, Jan, saying Lukaku fifth behind Harry Kane. Without Lukaku, Inter Milan aren't going to win the Scudetto.
Well, that's just because that I think Harry Kane is a very, as a number nine, he's much more than this. Working hard, he's a tough guy. He can keep the ball up front. He will score you the goals, and I think that he got to be up there. Lukaku, great goal scoring record. Talking about that could be another episode. Just talking about Lukaku not being at Manchester United, and there's so many for and against to that as well. But he's had a fantastic season since. In Serie A, but I will put Kane there because Kane is a player I will always like to have in my team.
What, you think there's an argument for...
What are you looking at?
My phone.
Yeah.
Do you think there's an argument for Lukaku to be above Harry Kane?
I'm saying that some fans would suggest
that. Fans of Inter Milan, I couldn't give a stuff about fans of Inter Milan.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm sure
Jan can't either. He's putting him in position. Harry Kane, if you're going to get a striker, if you were given the option of Romelu Lukaku or Harry Kane, it's a no-brainer. So, I mean, Inter Milan fans or fans of Serie A or whatever can go and take a stuff to themselves. It's Harry Kane is the better striker out of the two. Now, Romelu Lukaku is a decent striker, more than decent striker. Well... Oh, I've got way too much interest in this. I've no interest.
I was coming to them on purpose. I thought
but
you would have
come in fact, make this a three box. Make it a three box.
I was waiting.
Jules.
Well, listen, when I put five strikers in there, I'm so afraid that I've forgotten one and a number nine. But still, I haven't heard any. Who could be on sixth?
Well, Jules, I was thinking Jamie Vardy, but he hasn't played enough games this year. But he's still doing it.
Yeah. Fair enough. He looks good against Manchester United as well, yeah.
He hasn't played enough games. Right, that's way too much interest I've shown in this segment.
André Silva?
No, right.
Jan, we'll not ask you again.
I'm going to ask you now, do you agree with the order?
He would.
The only ones you could swap would be... listen, I'm not going to answer that question. Jules, I'm not answering it. You know why I'm not answering it? I have, you know, these like top five. I have zero interest.
Haaland or Benzema? Who are you picking first? Let's just do that.
Benzema's been super consistent, but I'm actually just picking Haaland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put them both together, I don't care.
Oh, no, but you are the answer. Well done, Craig. Thank you very much for participating
in
this.
Thank you.
They never asked me, Jan. They never asked me for any of these.
Gracious.
Top five.
Oh, you wouldn't answer. When's the last time you answered an email?
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. So why are you complaining about it?
Well, I'm just guiding Jan for future reference. When they ask you that...
International week. Tomorrow, it's best midfielders, apparently.
And who's doing
top
that?
I don't know.
Xhaka?
I'm off.
No.
Just a reminder, extra time.
I've just decided I'm off tomorrow. Doing
it
from home.
It's available over on our YouTube channel. World Cup qualifiers dominate the horizon over the next few days. So many for you available on ESPN Plus and ESPN 3 as well. Gab Marcotti joins the show along with Jan and Jules. Gab, I know you want to talk about Norway against Gibraltar. You're not allowed to because Jan's going to talk about that. So aside from that, what game has got you excited?
Well, Dan, what could be better than a clash of dragons versus red devils? I'm going
to
go all fantasy here and talk about Belgium against Wales. No, look, joking aside, it's a rematch of 2016, obviously, when Wales, I think, shocked the world and knocked heavily favored Belgium out of the Euros at the quarterfinal stage. There won't likely no Eden Hazard, but Romelu Lukaku, despite the threatened shutdown at Inter, has made it. Yuri Tielemans, my pick for Premier League Player of the Year, potentially, PPP there. He's going to be there. And for Wales, no Aaron Ramsey, but Gareth Bale coming out after what he said today about saying, you know, I'm going to go back to Real Madrid, see out my contract. We'll see if he's bluffing or not, but I think he's going to be fired up. So I think this is primo entertainment.
Jules, for you, which game? Oh, we know which game catches the eye. France, Ukraine.
Yeah, France, Ukraine, because I think it's a really good one on paper to start with. We saw Ukraine beating Spain not long ago in the Nations League, and France have been playing really well lately. They won against Portugal again in the Nations League in the last game. So really good game, rematch of the 2013 World Cup playoff second leg that France at the Stade de France won 3-0. So it'd be very good. And for Deschamps, who's kept a lot of the core of the team that won the World Cup, I should remind you, in 2018, not that long ago, it's important as well to see some of the other players, maybe someone like Tanguy and Ndombele, because this is the last time he would get to see the players before he announces the squad for the Euros.
Meanwhile, Jan, Gibraltar, Norway.
Exciting time for Norwegian football. The new national coach, Ståle Solbakken. A new national team captain, Martin Ødegaard. He is 22. He's our new captain. And Erling Haaland, of course, scoring goals for fun in the Champions League and for Dortmund. And we are very excited about this generation of football players in Norway. We only got 5 million inhabitants, so we need all the players we can. But our problem, our main challenge, it won't be against Gibraltar. We will beat Gibraltar. But that is the fact that for every goal that Erling Haaland scores for Dortmund, that doesn't give us a left back or a right back or a defender. So we need a good start. We are playing Turkey in the second game. I think that will be a harder test, of course. It will be a harder test for us. But we are just excited about this national team, and a small country like us need generations, and we have a good generation coming up now, so hopefully this could be a start for us to qualify for the World Cup. It's over 20 years since we were at a championship, so that would be great.
Jan mentioned Turkey there. They're taking on the Netherlands, Gab, which should be intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you talk about Holland, you've got this intriguing mix of talent, of older talent, younger talent, coming up against a Turkey team who I think have been underrated by many. Now, we don't know what they're going to look like, and this applies to a lot of these teams just because we haven't seen them for a long time, but the players are there.
A lot of people fancy Portugal to do well once again in the Euros. They kick off their World Cup campaign against Azerbaijan, Jules.
Yeah, in Turin as well at the stadium, the J Arena. So at least Cristiano will be on familiar ground, if you want. And this is such, especially going forward, because Pepe won't be there. Not that it would be a problem to be Azerbaijan, but certainly going forward, there's a lot of choices to be made for Fernando Santos. Do you play Bruno Fernandes? Do you play Bernardo Silva? Do you play Diogo Jota? How do you play them all together with Cristiano as well? Of course, we saw Pedro Goncalves having a wonderful season with Sporting too. So there's a lot of choices to be made and find the right formula. But certainly going forward, I think they have one of the best attacking lineup in the whole of Europe.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. Plenty to keep you entertained then on ESPN Plus over the next 24 hours. And if we want more entertainment, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. There is Gab with his one ear on, one ear off trademark look. They're joined by Don Hutchinson for the latest show. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Thank you, Craig, for being with us. What a moment. We will be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. The boys answering your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Shaka breathing very heavily as Craig was with me in the studio. Jan is with us. It's George. Shaka, what's going on at your house?
I know.
Nothing, I'm breathing.
Very loudly.
Do you know when we do this show, Shaq, and in our earpieces, all we can hear is like clattering in the background, and it's not Nicol because he's not here.
No, it's all your five children.
It's you.
You're causing trouble.
Am I clapping too loudly or am I breathing too loudly?
No, just mind clattering and clattering. All sorts going on.
Clattering around, people in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's a professional show, Shaq. You haven't even dressed up again. Okay. Jules is with us as well. He's got no clattering. If Barca achieved domestic double at the end of the season after their poor start, would it be enough for Koeman to see through at least one more season as their manager?
I think even if they don't win the double, even if they don't win the La Liga, which is probably harder to do right now, to be fair, than winning just the Copa del Rey final, but I think he will be there next season. Certainly the news that we get from Spain right now, from Catalonia, in the sense that Joan Laporta is quite happy with how he turned things around this season, which I think we've said it before, Koeman deserves a lot of credit for, the tactical change, but also the way some of the players have improved individually, as well as collectively. And also, I think, let's not forget, Barcelona don't have much money to invest. They would have to sell players to buy some players. And if you can keep the managers, you avoid more expenses in terms of sacking him, because he's got obviously 2 years on his contract, one more after this season, and go and get someone else who might want some new players, etc. So it makes a lot of sense, and it's certainly simpler and easier to keep Koeman on again next season.
Did you hear that, Shaq? Didn't hear it. Dan's phone just blinked.
My phone went off, Shaka. That's karma. That's karma.
Ah, you see? Yeah. Now we know who the culprit is.
Glass houses and stones.
It'll be Hercules Gomez. That's who it is. He always making sure I mention Football Americas.
Don't mention it.
I'm not going to.
If they ever ask, I'll say it now if he watches. If him and Salazar ever asked me to go on that, the answer is no.
Why? You'd love it. You two, you just
I'm
go on there and shout
Thursday.
To them.
Shaka's on it. I'm going on Thursday, I am.
Yeah, but you're on it. You're on it because you're stupid.
What?
Right, I have a job. My job is ESPN FC, right? Not Football Americas.
Jan, completely off topic. Nice picture of you and Brian Robson today, because it marked, what was it, 1995 you signed for Borough on this day?
Record signing, the days goes by, yeah.
How much?
Transfer deadline, signed for Borough for £1.3 million. At that time, that was a record fee for Borough, and then came Barnby, then come Janinho, and then came Ravanelli, but it was a start.
But it's a strange picture, because you're on the pitch and you've got the Middlesbrough shirt over like a horrible like beige suit that you're wearing.
They call it fashion in the 90s, Dan. Fashion, that's called. You should try it one day. You should try it.
Why didn't you just take that off and put the T-shirt on?
I can't hear you, Dan. I'm far away. I'm in Norway. I can't hear you.
Yeah.
To be fair, he fitted in well in the North East dressing like that.
Well, yes, exactly.
I mean, you got Robbie Musto up there. Musto, he dresses in the dark, doesn't he, Musto? And then who was the Colombian guy that came in as well, the striker? Yeah.
Jaime Moreno.
No. Big guy.
Colombia. That was after me. That was Hamilton. Hamilton, that was after me.
Yeah,
I got in Branco. Remember Branco, Craig?
Yeah.
Branco played for Brazil. And I asked, I thought he won the World Cup in 1958 when he came to Middlesbrough. And he was, I asked him, how old are you, Sergei? And he looked around and he said, can I get away with 31? But he didn't. He was too old.
I've seen your picture when you signed for Celtic. You've got one of the boys with you, haven't you?
My oldest, yeah.
Yeah.
Luke, yeah. He hates that picture.
Does he?
He said we dressed him up terribly.
But you were in the Celtic. He was on the Celtic, wasn't he?
No, I don't know what he was wearing. But I remember when Ravanelli went to Middlesbrough, and then I was with him at Derby, and I said to him, how is Middlesbrough? He went, it's incredible. He said, no training ground, training a field, dogs, whatever.
Yeah.
Dog poo everywhere.
Yep.
He went, and then what else? He said, and then the boys would come round at night and take me to the pub to play darts and drink. I was like,
Lovely.
That's normal.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But to be fair to Ravanelli, he was a team player. I remember he was standing in the dressing room. We had three strikers, myself, Mikkel Beck and Ravanelli. And then he said loud, Ravanelli, for me, Mikkel Beck, Serie C player. The problem was Mikkel Beck was standing next to him. That didn't help the team atmosphere, didn't it?
Yeah, and Robbie Mostert would always say Ravanelli would go back to Italy during international week, slag off Middlesbrough, the team and everything, and then come back, but obviously afterwards. To face the music.
And he was in every team meeting with his translator, and when Robson asked him a yes or no question, he always went into an Italian rant with all the swear words in Italian. And when he was finished, the translator looked at Brian Robson and said, yes, okay.
But seriously, I'm good friends with him, and he's a good lad. Because I know what Middlesbrough was like then, because the people that were there. And the management, right? And it's safe to say, it's not the same thing they would do in Italy. He just couldn't get his head around it. He would just see that as complete unprofessional. It's just amazing.
And it's fair, Craig, I'm just saying at the end, because we slagged him off a bit here, but at that season, he scored 30 goals. Wow. 30 goals he scored. And he's a good lad, but like he said, it was a bit different than Italy in Middlesbrough.
No, he's one of the best professionals I ever played with. He's unbelievable. Mikkel Beck was also a teammate of mine, strangely enough.
Oh, really?
I know.
Was he a Serie C player?
I spoke to today.
I don't think he was that bad.
No.
He was Mikkel, and now he's one of the most successful agents in Europe, so he's been well, Mikkel Beck. Yeah?
There we go. Xhaka, presentations on the pitch. She must have had a few. Reading, Newcastle.
I had a couple in West Ham. What about them?
Why have you gone echoey now? What's happened to you? I don't know. You might have a story.
I don't know. What have I done?
Do you know with him? You know his lot? Somebody needs to have like one of those big arms you pull and there's like a trap door opens.
Right.
And he just goes.
That's it.
Yeah, when he's on like this and there's clattering in the background, he's got an echo, his mic's not working, he's not dressed up, clearly doesn't give two hoots. Somebody should just be able to pull it and it just...
Like the old Graham Norton, they have the big red chair, don't they?
The chair goes back. Yeah.
Craig, should Chelsea fans consider Porto an easy opponent?
No. I mean...
Is this off the back of Sunday when Frank said he would have preferred Chelsea to have PSG because they would have been up for it more than they would Porto?
No, I think they'll be up for it. I don't think that'll make a difference because they're on a bit of a charge in terms of their results. They're unbeaten, keep them a lot of clean sheets. So, no, but listen, Porto are no... Chelsea are favourites, but Porto are no mugs. They beat Juventus, albeit Juventus were poor.
Jules, how big of a chance do you give PSG in percent to beat Bayern, and who would be the difference makers on both sides?
That's a tough one. I mean... I guess 20% is probably a fair amount because Bayern are huge favorite. Maybe you can go up to 30 based on the two legs, and we saw that Bayern Munich in the Champions League final were more efficient in both boxes. I think PSG were the better team over that just the final, the 90 minutes, but in the end Bayern won because they were more efficient, more clinical, and they had Manuel Neuer in goal, and so he made a big difference.
20% Jules, that's where you're
it's
going.
Even harder. What?
20%.
Yeah, maybe push it to 30, 70-30 Bayern.
Yeah, it'll be 50-50 by the time kickoff. You get some hope. Jules, how many signings are Arsenal away from challenging for the top four?
Whoa, more than they have money for to start with, that's for sure. It depends if you keep Odegaard in your team. I think he's having such a big impact that it would be a very good thing if they kept him. And after that, you still need another four or five probably.
Yeah, and after Watkins' recent comments about how he had tried to copy Kane's playing style and now get to be his teammate with England, did you have one player that you tried to base your game on?
Oh. What's he doing?
Well, I spent a lot of time in front of my video and watching all goal-getters trying to understand their runs, understand the run of Gary Lineker, why was he always alone in a box, what did Gerd Müller do and all that kind of thing. But I think my biggest favourite, and I thought he was like 10 years older than me, but I just realised that he was more or less my same age, was Marco van Basten. I think Marco van Basten was the best number nine maybe ever, if we kind of get him into a real number nine. And now Robert Lewandowski is kind of a copy of him. So I got to say, Marco van Basten.
What about you?
What?
You know what? The question that's just been asked.
Did I watch videos?
Yeah, who did you try and model your game on? Was there someone that you used to inspire you? Shut up, Jack. I'm trying to be serious.
No.
No? No.
I used to like...
He had a mirror.
Shut up. Listen. Your videos obviously froze when you're watching them. I used to enjoy watching Glenn Hoddle.
Right. So you tried to emulate him?
No. I didn't try and emulate anybody. I'm all about individualism.
Yes, you are.
But I used to admire Glenn as a player, and then he came to train with us at Chelsea whilst he was recuperating from a knee operation, and that was good. And then he went to Swindon, became manager, and quickly came back to Chelsea and became my boss. But. And we also trained with Marco van Basten. You know that story, don't you?
Oh.
Wow.
You know the story?
No, I don't think I do.
The David Rocastle story. God bless his soul.
Ah, yes, that's when he had to go.
When Ruud Gullit threw Rocky Rocastle to train with the kids, so as Marco van Basten, who was retired because of his ankle, could come and train with us to make sure the numbers were correct.
I remember, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. Sad.
Yeah, that was bad.
Shaka, who did you emulate your game on?
Not a goalie, anyway.
Nobody.
No?
Yeah, it's not. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can do that realistically as a goalkeeper. It's not like Jan saying emulate somebody's runs or. I mean, how do you do that with a goalkeeper? I just don't think it applies.
What about you, Jules? During your time in the fourth tier of French football.
I thought we were going to say as a journalist, because the answer was Gab Marcotti, of course.
Well, yeah, do the opposite.
When I was playing, I used to love watching Yanai Gofiotov and try to make the same runs as he was making, watching VHS. And Craig Burley, then, when I dropped a bit deeper in midfield, especially Craig's hair and that goal in 1998. Have you heard the story of the goal in 1998?
Who was that against? Who was that against,
yeah?
pull that up.
Listen, right. You're just concentrating, Julian, taking more control of that podcast. I'm fed up clicking on a link and it comes in with that gigantic Italian with the headphones incorrectly on, booming away.
I don't know, why don't you just put both headphones on? Why has he always got one ear exposed?
So what happens was every now and again I'll go on our YouTube channel and I'll just click on the odd link, and it's obviously, I have no idea what's behind the link, although there's a semblance of the stories there, but I don't know who's on. And I click on it, and the first thing I see is Marcotti and this headphones, and I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
Sort it out, Jules. Which two teams will make the final of Euro 2021 and why? Shaka.
France and Belgium.
Why?
Because they're the best two teams.
Okay. Jan?
Well, are we going to start now with your favourite, England, again? Or are we done with that from yesterday?
Well, I was factually correct yesterday.
Yeah, you were. You were factually. Well, I don't think Germany will have a good championship. I also think that France will do well. It will be the usual suspects, I guess. But and England maybe an outsider chance, like a dark horse, like we said yesterday.
No, they're favourites. It can't be dark horse. Don't do that again, yeah.
Well, it would depend what side of the bracket.
Right, okay.
Which we don't have in front of us.
No, we don't. It's just...
I'm going to say...
It's just, exactly. Fun. Just fun, isn't it?
Okay. I'm going to say potentially a rerun of the final in 2016.
Okay, and Jules?
Do you know who that is? You don't.
Portugal,
that's why
France.
You've moved on. Correct.
Portugal.
Jules?
All you need to know is that France will win it anyway, regardless on who they face in the final, so that doesn't matter so much.
All you need is love.
Jan, who is more of a homer, blind loyal fan for Jan, for Oli, or Jules for PSG?
Definitely Jan for Oli.
Yeah?
Absolutely, because that discussion yesterday, I was dreaming of that discussion yesterday, and I was just feeling so bad for you guys that you didn't get the picture. So it's probably Jan for Ola.
What did you do yesterday? I know it's a slow news week, international week, always slow news.
We talked about Solskjaer as we did on today's show as well, so we will wrap things up. ESPN FC.
Who's my favourite?
Who's your favourite what?
Whatever. Who do I pull for?
Who's your
favourite?
The whole list
Craig
of anti-people.
Who am I biased against?
You hate Solskjaer.
No.
Hate Manchester United. Who else is on your list? You hated Valencia for a while.
Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Chelsea, Liverpool. Arsenal, yes. Tottenham.
Celtic. Yep, you hate them. Yep, you hate everyone.
Yep.
That's it then. We're back tomorrow. It's real. Are you in the studio tomorrow?
I am at the moment. Oh. It's fluid.
I'm not here tomorrow. It is Wales against Belgium. We'll be reflecting on that.